The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, we are in Mark 13, of course, and we are getting ready to wrap up this section here that we're in with the abomination of desolation and move on into the next group of notes here, verses 24 through 27. All right, let's take the usual time to be sure that we are not only here, but here in the spiritual sense, under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, so that we can receive those things that are necessary for our orientation to the last days and the time in which we happen to find ourselves in the angelic conflict. This is your responsibility. This is a lot of information, and it is important for the believer to have, with regard to this information, continuity, because you have to see the whole thing laid out here as Jesus presented this information for that generation that would pop up in the church age, the rapture generation, predicated on the rebirth of Israel. So let's take the usual time to make the usual preparations. Let us pray. Now, Father, again, we assemble ourselves under the royal imperative to grow in grace and knowledge, and we thank you that you continue to provide for us the opportunity to hear those things which are essential to our relationship to you and our understanding of your prophetic word. Bless us in our efforts, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, with regard to the Antichrist, here, let me get the right place here, excuse me. The focus here is on the abomination of desolation, which is the idol, the super idol, unprecedented technology. Again, rapture and the last days all had to wait for this technological revolution in order to establish an image, a living, moving, humanoid type of entity to represent the Antichrist and be placed in the most holy place of the tribulational temple. The Antichrist himself, we've reviewed the documentation, and I think it is more than ample, as to the identity of the Antichrist. We first of all identified that it is an individual who comes up out of the abyss along with a false prophet for a little while, 7 years to be exact. And that he is related to the rulers of antiquity, one of the five that had fallen and gone by the waysides historically, and one was the Roman Empire, and one is to come. It's important to understand that there has been this dream in history for a revived Roman Empire. And if you remember the image in Daniel, where the history was brought from the head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon, working your way down, you come to the legs of iron, and that's the Roman Empire. And then, at the bottom of it, is this feet that is a mixture of feet and they call it clay. And that is where the stone strikes. That's the second advent. And so there is a continuity between the iron as it goes down, and we don't change to another metal. It's just in the feet. and the 10 toes in the image representing 10 separate nations that the Antichrist will rule over. And this is the revived Roman Empire. There is so much misinformation about all of this. The Antichrist will not rule the world. He will not have dominance over all the nations. He will conquer nations, but he will have a 10-nation confederation. And it has been the dream of certain ones that the Roman Empire would be revived. Well, it will be, but in another form. What it has in common with, it will involve the same geographical territory. Rome's empire included a lot of the European area. They went all the way into England, by the way. Hadrian's Wall, into Germany, into those France, all those countries that make up Western Europe. So he will head up a confederation of nations when he hits the scene. It's hard for me to get, and I have to think about it. I think about it, meditate on it a lot, how all this is going to fall in place. Now, I can only go so far with certain things. I guess you have to be there to see it. But the Antichrist, and we've been studying the Trib always for purposes of analysis related to the first half and the second half. And that's the way the Bible lays it out. First half, second half. The first half involve six seal judgments. And then there is a seventh seal judgment with seven trumpet judgments under it and seven bowls of wrath under the seventh trumpet in the sequence. Now, each of these seals will be opened by Jesus Christ in heaven, and events will transpire on earth. He doesn't open all seven up and just sit down. He opens up one, and then something happens, and there's a period of time, and then the next and the next, according to what is transferring on earth. The Antichrist in the first half of the tribulation will be quite busy, but by the midpoint of the tribulation, he will have his eyes on Israel, and he will not invade Israel at this time militarily. He will establish a treaty with Israel, and this treaty will be a mutual agreement thing on the part of the ruling Jews in Israel and the Antichrist. They will make a covenant of their own free will. He will not force this on them. He promises to protect them from their enemies, and in return, they are to acknowledge him as Messiah, as God. Now, at what point in the tribulation he begins to proclaim his false messianic claims, I don't know, but I suspect it'll be very, very soon. His propaganda machine will be unprecedented. He will have a right-hand man, the false prophet, who will run his cult. And that doesn't mean just telling people what to believe. It involves forcing people to take the mark of the beast under his dominion or else. Now, Antichrist, on page 20 of your notes, point 42, Antichrist's first big entrance into the holy city will not be to conquer, but to sign a treaty with Israeli leadership, establishing him as their Messiah. Daniel 9:27. See, this is in the ancient prophecies. And this was in a prophecy of Daniel, 70 weeks of years. Another way to calculate time from a decree, 77s, that's 490 years. Now, the first 483 years, there's 1-7 out here, the 70th week. Weeks 1 through 69. And I don't have time to get into this like we did way back when we worked on this at various occasions. But I'm just citing verse 27 because there is the 70 AD event mentioned here in verse 26. After 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. That's Jesus at the first advent being rejected by the Jewish people. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. That might sound confusing, because the Romans and their connection with the Greeks is important to understand here. He will destroy the city and the people of the prince. Europeans will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Jesus talked about the destruction of the sanctuary, not one stone on another. And its end will come with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war. Into what? Through the course of human history, constant war among the nations. And the 20th century started top on the list with what we called world wars. 1 and 2. Even to the end, desolations are determined. Okay. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. He doesn't do this at the beginning of the trib. He makes a covenant of 7-year treaty. To be, obviously, with the idea that if I do everything, then it can be renewed. But in the middle of the week, this is the trib. See, that's where all this can really get you tripped up. He'll make a covenant with many for 1 week. How many days are in a week? 7. So he correspond each week, each day to a year. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. That means that the first half of the tribulation, the Jews are cranked up doing their ancient ritual in that tribulational temple. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. Abomination of desolation. Even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. The putting down in Armageddon of the Antichrist and his final demise by Jesus Christ when he is cast alive into the lake of fire along with the false prophet. Okay. Israel will be punished for this pact with the Antichrist. Israel in the Old Testament, the nation, reaped divine discipline for various things, including alignments with nations instead of trusting God. They will suffer consequences. What's the consequence? So what's the treaty all about? To protect them militarily. That's what he's going to promise them. In return, they acknowledge him as Messiah, God. 15 and 16. Because we have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have made a... Isn't that interesting language? We have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol... See, he comes up out of Sheol. Sheol is a synonym for the underworld. And with Sheol, we have made a pact. And for this punishment, the overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. So there's factors involved here. He's going to protect them from, he says, from this invasion. this Gog and Magog invasion, which involves Russia, among others. Russia's the head of it. Russia, Iran, Turkey, even Libya. They're off over here, not Egypt. And these nations are going to invade Israel. We have made falsehood our refuge, and we have concealed ourselves with deception. Deception. All right. So Israel will be punished. That invasion is discussed elsewhere in the Scripture, and I won't go to it at this time. But this overwhelming scourge will come in, and God will destroy it, presumably using angels. And the dead of those nations and those armies that come in there will be so tremendous, it'll take 7 years to dispose of all the corpses. And this isn't even Armageddon. So it has to happen. That invasion has to happen right after this, soon after this treaty is made. Jesus promises in verse 19, back to our Mark 13, an assessment of the severity of the seven-year tribulation as compared to anything that the human race has experienced, as he says, since the beginning of creation until now, and even to the conclusion of human history. Nothing matches the destructive event of the tribulation. You just can't. It's almost impossible to factor it all in. It isn't just from warfare. It isn't just from mass genocide. It's from upheavals in nature, unprecedented earthquakes. Daniel 12:1 has, in reference to the days between the rapture and the second advent, this to say. Now here we'll add another factor. Who's going to fight for Israel and the interests of God with regard to Israel? He's going to take his top angel and use him, Michael. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. Israel has a guardian angel, none other than the archangel Michael. You know the one that had the conflict with Satan over the body of Moses? That same one. It's kind of like Michael has taken the place of Satan when he fell in the hierarchy of angels. He's the top one. And he will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as not happened from the beginning of nations until now. So we'll just take the post-diluvian era. Post-diluvian means after the flood. That's when we start getting nations. I don't hear any reference to nations before the flood. It's the birth of nations. But at that time, your people, everyone who is found in the book, that's the book of life, their names are already in the book. They're not written in there when they get saved. In the book, we'll be rescued. One way or another. They're going to be brought over into the kingdom of Christ just because they are Jewish believers. If they die in the trib, that's not a problem. If they survive, okay. Everyone who is written in the book, the whole house of Israel, the true house of Israel, which is predicated on not just genetics, because there's a lot of genetic Jews who are in hell. Jewishness does not save you. Faith in Christ saves Jews and Gentiles. But all those who are written in the book will be rescued. Some will be brought out of their graves. The whole house of Israel will be together in the millennium. From the first Hebrew by the name of Abraham. All of them saved down through the line. They will be rescued. This is quite apparent from what is recorded in Revelation chapter 6 through 19 with the seven seal judgments. Now the only one that isn't killing people or freaking them out And this is the fifth one. 1 through 4, well, 1 doesn't kill anybody. It's a setup for 2, the rider on the red horse, red being blood and the shedding of blood. And the impact of the nuclear annihilation of the United States. Try to factor that into the world. It's gone. It's up in smoke, radioactive smoke, up into the atmosphere. The nations are in an uproar. Look at them with COVID. Look how quick that took traction and went all around everywhere. Just look how quick it took off. This, everybody's attention will be gotten. These people can't go hide in their favorite entertainment venue or whatever they're doing. We will have everybody's attention. Undivided attention. Right now, a lot of them, they're not interested in anything. Just saving America or something from all this political upheaval that is going down. Keep in mind, Christ controls history. He's got it. This will work out. The prophecies will be fulfilled. That's why we're told, don't speculate, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. You're here today. You came to Bible class. You're one of the few smart ones. You know where your protection, you know where your blessing is, and it's here. And I salute everyone who has stayed the course in spite of everything. I do. I mean, I don't want everybody's heart and attitude. I don't necessarily want to. But the thing is, you're here. Maybe your mother isn't. Maybe your best friend isn't. Maybe your child isn't, or whatever. You're here. You never, hopefully, ever based your devotion to God and His Word based on what family members may or may not do. I tried to teach that all my life. We will have disappointments and we'll have sorrow over people that fall by the wayside. This is the way it is. We all have to walk a path. We all have to go through some things. Who said that it was all going to be perfect for you and every friend and every relative and everybody was just going to hang right in there? I've seen people leave Bible class because their mother that didn't even come to Bible class died. What? Mad at God because he took her mother. I know. So the second half of the tribulation is worse than the first half. Matthew, in the parallel account and his rendition of this, has great tribulation. Some think great tribulation refers only to the second half, but see Revelation 7:14 referring to the tribulational martyrs. The tribulational martyrs are those people that are saved after the rapture, primarily, I guess, because you can't just implement the mark of the beast overnight. You've got to have the technology. You've got to set this whole thing up. And then you've got to make it a law that everyone has to take the mark of the beast if they want to engage in business, go to work. And the others will be banished. And beyond that, they'll start killing them. The other doesn't... So there'll be a big black market, underground market. Believers are going to suffer. They're going to have lack of food and other things. But God still has His promises in the Word. And if you were in the tribulation, you just claim His promises and say, give us our daily bread. Make it happen. According to Revelation 7, it is a tremendous number of people that will be wiped out through martyrdom. And that's the fifth seal judgment. All these souls coming up to heaven. Go read it. All these souls popping into heaven. And they're all telling the Lord, I don't know how that works, but they're all telling the Lord, how long is it going to be before you avenge our blood? He said, just be calm, just a little while. These are believers that are hardly out of the womb, so to speak. They get saved. They get martyred. Their phase two is days, weeks, whatever. And they're all given a nice white robe tunic to wear. Their bodies are on earth, beheaded. How do you behead that many people that quick? I don't know. I mean, and that's one of the things I've had to back off on, is logistics. How do you get that done? How can the Antichrist do all the things he does in such a short period of time? Well, there's going to have to be some spectacular events that just absolutely grab everybody's attention. The nature of the circumstances in which he suddenly appears on earth and can prove instantly who he is. I've got some other insights into this, I think. And that is the fact that he isn't going to deny that a whole bunch of people just went to heaven, called the rapture. Because this needs to be explained, doesn't it? You've got all these people that disappeared, probably tens of millions of people in the United States that are born-again Christians. A bunch of them are in China, and I don't know what other countries, to what percentage. Some probably won't see very many people go, but they will see violated graves. You drive by a cemetery in town, there's all those tombstones sitting out there. Well, where there are believers buried, their remains are going to be pulled up out of that. And I believe disturbed, messed up cemeteries. Is such a witness, it isn't even funny. How can you not go to the Bible and say, hey, that rapture thing was true? And I think he will malign those who are in heaven. Not by saying, they don't exist, aliens got them. What would aliens want to do with some bones in a coffin somewhere? Does that make any sense? No. It's going to be a witness. People who fail to believe in the tribulation are so accountable. People in general are so accountable. It isn't funny. It is like the evidence is so strong. How we say, I harp on this all the time. How can people see things and then refuse to repent and believe? Like the Jews coming up out of Egypt. And all those Canaanite nations in Egypt and all these people around, the news of it was everywhere. It was household conversation. Pharaoh's army, Egypt's wrecked. Powerful Egypt is wrecked, and Pharaoh's army was destroyed at the Red Sea, and there's a cloud over these people, and food's falling out of the sky. And they're heading our way. You'd think they'd all say, we got to figure out what the God of Israel is all about and get our act together. But no. No, we wouldn't want to do that, would we? But there was a prostitute in Jericho. She processed all this like everyone else did. But she came to the right conclusion. I'm changing allegiance. I'm going to be a sanctified traitor to my own country. She hid the spies. She was real slick too. She was. Rahab, she's referred to in Scripture, even after the fact. How would you like to have been her, and then even in Scripture down the line, you're called Rahab the prostitute? You might say, I'm not that anymore. Okay, you're not that anymore. But it's to emphasize the grace of God that he took a Gentile prostitute who hid the spies. And when the authorities came, because she serviced the leaders there in Jericho, and she also was a source of information. She got it from men who like to talk when they're with a woman. And they came and they would come to her. If you know anything about so and so and so and so, it was also a place for information. She wasn't just some streetwalker. And she was real clever, because everybody saw these Jewish males coming into the city, and they wanted to nab them, right? So they came to her place. She hid him on the roof, because flat roof. And when the authorities came and questioned her, she didn't say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. No, she's clever. Yeah, they came in here. Where they went, I don't know. You say, well, she's lying. In warfare, that's fair. She changed allegiance. And she made a deal with these spies. I will keep you safe. But you've got to do something for me when the city goes down. You've got to save me and my household. And they said, it's a deal. Here's what you got to do. You put a scarlet, red, associated with that type of actor. You put a scarlet rope outside your window, hanging down on the wall, and we will not touch that place. But if it isn't there, you're dead. And at night, they got out of there and went back. So my whole point is there's no accounting for positive volition. A negative volition is so stupid and unbelievable. They look right at the evidence. Like I've been giving people evidence on stuff. Here's the evidence. Here's the evidence. Dig your little heels in. Some people. It's all I can do. But I have to relax. But it's hard for me to do. I care about people. But beyond that, I'm just like the prophet in the Old Testament. You're going to go out there and deliver God's word, and you're going to take a bunch of abuse. But it's God's word. I'll take care of you. You do your job. Deliver the information. Look what they did to Jesus. All these miracles. And the last one, raising a man who was rotting in the grave and who stunk to the high heaven, his friend Lazarus, in front of all these people. All the authorities had the information. Nobody could do anything like that but God. Yeah, it's one thing to bring back from the dead a little girl in someone's house that just freshly died. Maybe she wasn't really dead. But Lazarus, and he's two sisters, Mary and Martha. And that whole instant there in the Gospel of John, so much fun to teach. If you'd have been here, Lord, he wouldn't have died. So, Lazarus was Jesus' friend. Why would he pick Lazarus? Why do we pick whoever we pick and connect with as doctrinal friends? He raised him in front of all of them. And the Jewish establishment blew it off. There's your, you know. So, you see this again and again in history. You've got all this evidence in front of you, and you blow it off. I can start with the human race in general. There's all this evidence for the existence of a supreme being. A creator, if you will. If you are a logical person, you don't have anywhere to resort to. You could fall in with the evolution mess. But that's impossible. There's even people that are biologists that are saying this is crazy. All these cells that make up your body, any of them, they have to be programmed. And all these organisms and everything so sophisticated, it's just demonic. There is evidence for a supreme being. It's the only place you can go. The ancients said, well, some god did this and this one did this. Still, interdependence, sophistication. Although, I have a book called Darwin's Black Box. Well, I think it's in our library. And this is a scientist. He is pointing out. He takes illustrations. Let's look at blood coagulating. As a for instance. There's all these steps in it. You take one out and you bleed to death from a minor cut. So the evidence in the tribulation, again, God wants people to be saved. He provides the evidence that's out there. Go with it. The pace of the attrition rate is so great that the time frame had to be shortened for all humanity would become extinct. Well, that provides us with a little problem. What's that mean? It's Daniel's 70th week. It's got to be 7 years. So we have, how do you shorten 7 years? It's 7 years are set in stone, like the first 69 weeks. They were literal 7 years. The days of the tribulation were shortened for the sake of the elect. If this period of death and destruction to all things living would have continued unabated, there had been no one alive to start up the millennial nations. I have something else to say here in a minute. Satan's final attempt to sabotage the plan of God, at least up to this point historically, is to kill off all believers. He didn't care about unbelievers. He has to kill off all believers. So you have the genocide in Europe. I'm presuming it's more or less limited to Europe. The mark of the beast phenomenon. We just saw last night that he sends out an army, to take out these Jews that are in these mountain refuges, and the earth opens her mouth and swallows them up. He wants to snuff out every believer. So if along the way he snuffs out every human, he doesn't care. Because Christ would not have natural humanity to build his kingdom in. And the Bible says there would be natural humans on the earth to pioneer the millennial civilization. In verses 21 and 22, there is a second warning not to heed the word of the false Christs and prophets. This will be a pressure on these believers. Who are you going to listen to? This is always the issue. Who are you going to listen to? Now, false Christs and false prophets, in addition to the Antichrist, the big false Christ, there will be all these other jokers running around claiming that they're the Christ. They'll come out of the woodwork to deceive believers who might get emotional, who get away from the Scripture, which says, and we'll get into those verses in our next set of notes, when you see Jesus coming back, the Christ, he won't be hid in some corner someplace, out in some remote desert, you know, some exotic location out here in so-and-so-ville. He's going to come up out of the sky. That's coming up. So what you do, you have doctrine of the soul, and you say, bye-bye, dummy, I'm not listening to you. That's what all of us have to do to survive spiritually. Just tell them, however you want to tell them, firmly, nicely, no thank you. I'm not buying it. Not for a New York minute. People should have done around here with things. I've had it in my face saying, you don't know who the Antichrist is. What? Where in the hell did that come from? I proved this to you. I proved he is not a man of our times. He is out of the past, up from the grave. I didn't even proceed to try to rebuke that. I taught it, take it or leave it. I had someone in my face doing that. That would come out of left field from me. What? What else don't you like? I'm not talking about some guy out here. Those people, you know. That's one of the ways I went, because there's not a bunch of fundamentalist Christian that believe in the tribulation, blah, 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 and there's going to be an Antichrist and a mark of the beast and all that. That's about as far as they get with it. And I say, I know who he is. I got the documentation. He is not a contemporary of his times, like an Adolf Hitler or a Joe Stalin. He comes up from the past. That's what will electrify the human race, and he'll be able to prove it. Now, what he says and how he got here, I don't know that part. By the way, someone showed me a cartoon. Scooby-Doo, is that right? Scooby-Doo? A Scooby-Doo cartoon. I know this sounds crazy. And they're in Greece. And he's got his little sidekick. Shaggy or Scrappy or something. That's funny, isn't it? I'm not into that. I don't have all. I'm going to listen to more. But I saw this one. You got to see it. Run it down. It has Alexander coming up. I didn't give you the whole storyline of the cartoon, okay? But they have Alexander coming up from the underworld. What? In a Scooby-Doo cartoon? That doesn't prove he's the Antichrist, but that's in there. See, this stuff, people, is as we get closer to the end, we're real close, this thing's going to start popping like mad. It's fun. I know some of it isn't any fun. What's going on in Washington with all the evil up there now currently, no, that's no fun. But it's going to work together in God's plan to advance it. We have faith in that. I told someone I was going to, I don't know if I told him or not, I had to mention that one. If you want to run it down on your phone, you can. I don't know what the episode's called, if they named them. There's been some weird stuff even in some of the current cartoon type stuff. The Simpsons. But we won't get into that. So there is a second warning to not heed the word of false Christs and prophets that will arise in order to lead astray the elect. That's one of Satan's... He targets unbelievers with his junk, but he also wants to target believers. And he's been successful with a lot of them. Because they don't have doctrine up front. Doctrine says this. Nope. We've got all kinds of prophets on TV and on the big Christian networks claiming prophet to be prophets. I haven't seen any false Christ, but I know that they have arisen in our church age. Nostradamus was a false prophet, but he was a real sophisticated one. A lot of his stuff sounds pretty good. It's almost like he knows the future a little bit. And that's why it comes down as credible. But remember, he isn't basing it on the Bible. Who is that bishop, that guy named Pike, who was connected with the Masons, Illuminati? He said there will be three world wars, and all that will come up out of this. So they have some kind of an understanding of the future, and they use it. Just stick with the Bible; you don't have to worry about it. It is issued to believers who are in their safe places, 56, and who are subject to being seduced into leaving these places, only to be killed if they're dumb enough to do it. Now, they can't lose their salvation. They just failed under their emotions. Because it isn't... I mean, if you're living with a whole bunch of people in these fortresses, that isn't exactly the most enjoyable place to be. But that's where you're supposed to be. The woman will be nourished. She'll get her basic living grace needs, water and food, like the Jews in the wilderness. Can't beat that. He can't touch you. It's another example of a group in the tribulation. You can't touch these guys. And you can't touch the two prophets for 3.5 years. Then you can touch them, kill them, but then they're right back on their feet and taken up to heaven. Right in front of all these people. And this leads to, and this is at the midpoint. All at the midpoint. The midpoint is really critical in the study of this, all that goes down. These types will do miracles even in an attempt to authenticate their claims that the Messiah has already come and is in some secret place waiting for his people to join them, as in Matthew 24:23. No, don't think so. When he comes back, every eye will see him. Out of heaven like lightning. Come with us, the royal family, and all these angels as an invasion. We used to say from outer space, an invasion from the heavens. It will come down out of here and every eye will see. Every living person will see the second advent, the visual. The day will be black as night. And then out of it comes this light. Okay. Those residing in protected strongholds will have these verses to lean on. Both verses to say, hey, this is our guidebook right here. This is all the rest of the Bible is important to us, but this is critical to our glorification of God. We want to glorify God. Glorifying God for us means we have a way to stay alive and survive the tribulation. Where others of our brethren were martyrs, and that was their deal. When the persuasive lying words of false teachers reach them, however this might be possible. I don't know what technologies will still be up and running by this time. I don't. Maybe there will be. Maybe they'll get it over their little... But out there, how can you charge your phone? It's not like they got electric. So I don't know. See, those are physical things. How do they get to them verbally? I don't know. But they will attempt to seduce them spiritually and draw them away. Always the enemy is out there waiting for a weak spot in believers. Know that. Have your guard up. Be ready. A total stranger? Yeah, I'd blow them off. But it might be somebody close to you. Be cautious. When they start espousing things that don't add up, well, maybe they're having a bad day. But sometimes it's so far that you go, nope. Don't come on to me with this anymore. That's what I've had to do in my early Christian life with certain people. Leave me alone. I'm not going down there. I'm not listening to this. Let's malign my pastor teacher to try to undermine my faith. What I fell back on is, well, none of you dummies taught me anything of substance. So I'm sticking with this horse. I have to make a decision. What do you got to offer that's so wonderful? So complete. I've told these people do not delve into this like this in their churches. Huh. Imagine the bombshell of carefully, compassionately, if you will, explaining to fundamentalist Christians who believe the Lord's coming back and might even have the sense that we're real close, we're going to drop the U.S. in prophecy on you. See what you'd get with that. Well, you wouldn't last. Or if you had a church full of them, they'd boil out of there. But it makes every bit of sense in the world. It's just being an investigator. And everything in there. Who in the world does this look like this is, if it isn't this? I presented it to my pastor teacher back in the day. I said, shoot it down. And if I'm wrong, I'll recant it. Nobody shot it down. You can yell and say all kinds of stuff. Give it a little speech from the pulpit that I'd done this, and if the you say stuff that you can't. If the rapture's in the next 20 years, the United States will be destroyed. Well, where did 20 years come from? You know? Now that I think back on it, where did I get the information? I got put onto a book by Hal Lindsey. He called it The Late Great Planet Earth, in which his primary position was, if Israel isn't a nation, you can't have the rapture. Now, is that hard to grasp? With Israel all mentioned through the book of Revelation and all is involved, that has to be an up-and-running nation. Crying out loud, you can't go to 1,500. What would you have in Israel for that? So that put me onto that. And then I had to work on the details. But this wasn't, you know, and if someone wants to offer up an objection about something, I'll listen to it. Well, they returned in unbelief. Yes, they have. And Ezekiel said they would. Boom! It's not for any righteousness in you that I'm going to bring you back to this land. I showed you those verses. Normally, if the Jews were kicked out of their land, they could come back if they turned to the Lord and renounced their junk and as they did in the day of Daniel and Ezekiel, and they came back. But this group of Jews, I'll get to it a little later. The vision of the valley of the dry bones. What's the last thing in there that this body gets? A human spirit. Salvation. Those who reside in protected strongholds will have these verses to lean on. I have verses I'm going to lean on. I'm going to lean on them real hard. Everything these future saints need to survive and glorify God has been laid out for them, going all the way back to this prophetic discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were way out there in history. And this is laying here in the Bible for their day when they come and they make their stand in the angelic conflict. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten positive volition in Jesus' name. Amen.